Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
the Glenbrook Historical Society. I'm just here with Dennis, our first interview on podcasts, and we're just going to give you a general view about the Glenbrook Historical Society. Dennis, can I ask you just roughly in a sentence or two where Glenbrook is, what the Historical Society is, how many members, that type of stuff, things that come to mind? Over to you, Dennis.
Right. Glenbrook is on the lower Blue Mountains. In fact, it's the second town up in the Blue Mountains. And Glenbrook's existence was mainly due to the railway. And Glenbrook's history is basically based on the railway, because the railway had to climb up the escarpment, and the locomotives were short of water, and they had to rewater the locomotives, so Glenbrook was the spot to do it.
I'll just stop you there. Yeah. No, this is just for the audience overseas. So the Blue Mountains is an ancient riverbed laid a kilometre thick riverbed.
It is.
Laid down about 500 million years ago. You had the big Carboniferous, it would have been about 300 million years ago. So you had big Carboniferous forests, and then after that, a mighty river, the world's largest river, went through from Lithgow to the coast, which is in Australia, if you get a map of Australia. And this led a huge riverbed, which lay underneath the sea and then was pushed up. And this has created a large natural barrier between us and the rest of Australia. This is the Sydney Basin. And the reason the barrier is that it eroded canyon systems, and so it made it difficult to get across, and also difficult for trains to get across in around, when was the first train across?
I think it was about 1865, from memory.
Australia was the first fleet, or the first Europeans came in 1788. So to put that in context, the French Revolution was in 1794. That happened over about so many years, ending with Napoleon around that time. The Regency Jane Austen time was the discovery of Australia time. And so these people came out, and then the English building trains, loved trains, and so they put one up here, and they had this problem of this large canyon mountain system going up, and it created this thing that there's lots of coal and water in the valley, and then they had to go up this slope. They can easily run out of coal. They need lots of steam. You need coal and steam for trains. Mm-hmm. Dennis is a friend, so he doesn't mind me adding to it.
I didn't realise all the geological history like that. I was really very interested myself. I remember doing a walk with the Blue Mountains geologist through the Zigzag Railway, which is the way they got the trains up the mountain, and he described all the structures from the rock face that they'd cut out to make the track through the rocks. And it was very interesting, the different types of sandstone that existed there. So that's the reason Glenbrook existed. It was a sleepy little village. It didn't have any main road access until 1926, when the main roads department bought the original railway line off the railways department and put the highway through up here. So it was a sleepy hollow, and now it's Glenbrook's become a very trendy little place in the Blue Mountains. In fact, on Saturday morning, you can't move there for all the people coming up, filling up the coffee shops. But it has an interesting history, and we as the Glenbrook and District Historical Society, that's our job. We record this history. We're mainly a photographic and publication museum. We have a little small museum which we operate in a school grounds here, and we open on market days.
I was going to stop that. And what Dennis and I are discussing, obviously, is moving into podcasts, websites, and all the just quietly thinking about the future and how to do it. Do it quietly with not much fuss. I think as we're discussing, the main thing is for people who like history to be part of stewardship of it. Nothing, not making a huge profit, not making a huge fuss, just promoting history. Is that right,
Dan? No, that's exactly right. Yeah, we've got a group of, oh, I think I've I haven't counted the membership, but it's probably about 50 members, I think, at a rough guess. And they're very dedicated. Many of the people of the society have lived here all their life. And it's quite intriguing when you say somebody comes in and said, does anybody remember Bill Smith that lived here? Yeah, Bill, he lived down in there. They know the house, they know his relatives. And so it's amazing the amount of knowledge we have with the membership. And so we want to try and get it recorded down as quickly as we can, because they're all getting on a bit in years, as we all are. And it's become very important. And that's why we're now looking at ways we can record this and make it available to everybody.
I was just going to say that as you talk, you find these little bits of information out. The woman a few doors down from me, an old woman, was very small, and she had a job during World War II of doing the wiring inside the Lancaster bombers, because she was the only person small enough to get in and do all the wiring. But also Glenbrook having the tunnel was the site of Australia's gas warfare. And you think the Americans and the British didn't have it. They did have a gas storage of gas in Glenbrook's tunnel. And so this is here. And so there's still the tunnel, a whole lot of features, still old buildings around here. Just passing over to you, Dennis, to talk about the old buildings and how we look after them.
Mm. Well, there are a lot of old buildings in Glenbrook. Some are in poor state of repair, but a lot of them are beautiful. I mean, there's a Dunn family who were up here, and they were stonemasons, and they've got some beautiful stone buildings in this area. In fact, one called Briarcliff, which is now part of the Royal Australian Air Force Eastern Command Base, that was built by the Dunn family, and the head of the Air Force in this area lives in there now. So there are a lot of old buildings here, and we want to record them. We want to find out their history, and even including businesses that operated up here. We just done one recently of McCall's Bakery. I didn't even realise that this business existed, but it was one of the largest employers of people in the Blue Mountain area. And it followed up, of course, with the advent of the supermarkets and local small bakery shops taking over the function of the larger bakeries. But it was an interesting history. I didn't know it existed, and now it's all out in the open and we've got it publicised.
I was just going to say that Glenbrook used to be... you could see history, the embers of history fade, because when we were first up here, we had the fruit and veg car would door-to-door, and the fishmonger would come along.
Oh, yeah,
door.
Yeah.
Dennis can remember.
Look, I'm gonna blow in.
Okay, so unfortunately, the way this is recording, we're out in the back of Dennis's beautiful house in the Blue Mountain. I can say it's absolutely beautiful out here in the sun, but unfortunately I've got a directional microphone, which you've all heard of, and so it points to me and then points to Dennis. If it was more of a studio thing, I'd be able to do it. But passing over to Dennis, and you were just saying you were just a blow-in.
Yes, well, I moved up here in late 2012, my daughter lived up here for many years, so I've been coming to Glenbrook for 30 years before then. And they're always saying, "Dad, why don't you move up to Glenbrook? It's beautiful up here." I said, "No, I don't want to get out of the city. Why do I want to come up to Glenbrook? There's nothing there." Now, I wouldn't. Every time I go down to the city, I just can't stand it. I can't get out of the place quick enough and get back to Glenbrook. And in fact, one of our local residents up here just moved to Mudgee, which is a town further out west, because he said Glenbrook's becoming too crowded. And I don't believe so, but he'd believe so. But that's the way. That's progress. But we want to keep Glenbrook as a village, the way we are, and we want to record its history and stop too much progress. And, of course, you mentioned the tunnel. The tunnel was a second deviation of the railway. When the original zigzag was becoming a bit of a drag, they put a tunnel in between the next town, Lapston, and Glenbrook, and it wasn't a very successful tunnel. And so they then did a major deviation around the cliff face. So the tunnel was then used for mushroom growing, and they were the mushroom growers, which were a local family, were told to leave because the tunnel was required for war purposes. And unbeknown to everybody, it was filled with major storage of mustard gas and other weapons, and was all a big secret until, you know, it leaked out recently with the publication of a book. Now, that tunnel has become available, and now there's a push for people to open the tunnel up for cyclists and foot traffic. But I'm not sure who's going to pay for it. And the council said they'd like to take over the tunnel, but they want the government to pay for it. So I don't know where we're going to end up with that, but there's a big push for that at the moment to open the tunnel up.
Sorry, if I can butt in here. I've got to get home until all this finished. We've got 10 minutes here. I'll tell you what the most gorgeous thing is, not knowing too much history. That is... I don't know whether we can do it here, is that you go on this bushwalk and you walk along and you suddenly say, oh, this is the ruins of an old station. Now, if you don't know it's a station ahead, it's that theory of discovery, or you don't know, it's not marked, you're saying, look, there's something to discover here. You walk along and you suddenly look down and there's a beautiful, beautiful tunnel, and there's caves, and there's famous graves, not of bush rangers, but of very famous historical graves of murderers. There's used to be a cattle rustling, cattle rustling things, and various things full of interesting stuff. I suppose the thing I like most is the story from Bill about Mrs. Fuzzy's peach farm and how she had influence with the local members to get the dam wall of the Glenbrook Lagoon raised. I don't know whether that's true, but I just I enjoy it. Bill, Dennis, you want to say just a few words to the members of the Glenbrook Historical Society if they'd like to get into doing just quiet podcasts like this?
Well, I think they are.
You don't have to.
I think they are because I've already told them we want to try and modernise the museum and get a touchscreen information system available where people can go up and get the information quickly. As it is now, if people want information, we've got to go to our computer and try and find the file and get it out, and it's so cumbersome. So I want to streamline that procedure. In fact, even make it available to people outside who don't even attend the museum and want to find out something about Glenbrook, because that's the function of the Historical Society, and that's what we should be doing.
We'll do it. I was thinking of just the people around the place, just give them this podcast, and I'll just do the podcast. One of the things, I'll just close off this podcast. One of the most surprising things, sort of gems I've discovered in the internet is the Dutch virtual carrot museum. And you walk in and it's multi-storied things with displays of different Dutch carrots and the history of carrots and all this type of stuff. And then you say, oh, I want to visit this museum. It's a completely made-up museum. Mm. And it was just a wonderful thing. And I don't know how many people visit it. And I think there's this various software you can go around and visit it in virtual space. But the general idea is, us old people are going to try and move with the time and keep up with the young people. So that's the end of this podcast. Just before going, I'll get Dennis to say cheerio and goodbye.
Cheerio from Glenbrook.
Okay. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.